الحمد لله وكفى والصلاة والسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى خصوصا على سيدنا ومولانا محمد المجتبى والذين قاموا بالصدق والصفاء أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وكونوا مع الصادقين صدق الله العظيم وصدق رسوله النبي الأمين الكريم الحمد لله All praise belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that we have been bestowed with a great gift from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala today, tonight, and that is that we are inside the masjid in order to remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us all free will and we choose to go where we want. Allah has given us legs with which we may travel to wherever we want. And tonight we have all decided to come to the masjid. So we are bestowed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and therefore all praise belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Today, or tonight, the topic that I have been given to speak on is the identity of a Muslim. So before I begin, I would like to ask you lot and know from you what you believe is the identity of a Muslim. So can somebody tell me what they think is the identity of a Muslim? Anyone? Intikhab?
Understanding of how sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to teach and follow his sunnah should be the exact identity of a Muslim.
MashaAllah, very good. Very good. Following the sunnah of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and following the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Alhamdulillah, the identity of a Muslim. So first and foremost, what is Iman? What makes a person a Muslim? It is unanimously agreed by the ulama-i kiram that a believer, a person who is a Muslim, a mu'min, is he who verifies every single thing that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam brought from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Tasdeequn bikulli ma ja'a bihi an-nabiy sallallahu alaihi wasallam. With everything that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam brought from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is iman. So he who accepts everything from the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then he is a believer. And he who rejects anything from amongst those things that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam brought, he is not a believer. So first and foremost, the identity of a Muslim is he who holds the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam as the highest authority after Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and accepts everything that came to us from the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. In the hadith of Jibreel, that the Aimmah hadith have recorded in the chapter of Iman, when Sayyiduna Jibreel alayhi salam came and asked the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that what is Iman and what is Islam, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam first of all spoke of Iman, that tu'minu billah, ya an tu'mina billah, that you believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So first and foremost, the identity of a Muslim is that he will believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is one. This is what he will believe. And when a Muslim believes that Allah is one, he rejects all the other false gods and all the idols that people are worshipping, believing them to be God. He rejects all of them and he believes in the one and only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That makes the person a believer. But not only that, he must believe that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is free from all faults. He is free from every single fault. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has absolutely no partners. Allah is free from all partners. And a Muslim understands that there cannot be more than one Allah. It is impossible. It is absolutely impossible for there to be more than one God. Why is that? If you ask the philosophers, they will tell you that first and foremost, it is essential that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has everything within His power. It is essential, otherwise how can we believe one to be the one and only deity when He doesn't have all the power? He has to be the most powerful. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants it to rain, it must rain. If people believe in a deity who wishes for it to rain and it doesn't rain, then how can that be God? It is impossible for a deity or a being to be God when His will is not fulfilled. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is He whose will is always fulfilled. When He says kun, fayakun, then it happens. That is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. إِذَا أَرَادَ شَيْئًا أَيَّقُولَ لَهُ كُنْ فَيَكُونَ. When He intends anything, He says kun, become, and it becomes. That is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And if a deity or a being says kun and it doesn't happen, then that cannot be Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And therefore the philosophers say that if there were two gods, al-ayadu billah, if we suppose there are two, and one intends for something to occur, and at the same time the other intends for the absence of that thing, for that not to occur, then what will happen? What will happen? One of them intends that it must rain, the other intends that it must not rain. Then what will happen? The philosopher says that there is only three outcomes. There are only three possible outcomes. First of all, it will rain. If it rains, then the being and the deity who intended it to rain, he is God. He is Allah, and the other cannot be Allah. The second one, possible outcome, is that it doesn't rain. If it doesn't rain, then the being and the deity who intended for the rain not to occur will be accepted as God. And the other who wanted it to rain will not be accepted as God. And the third possible outcome is that it rains and it doesn't rain at the same time. The wujud and the admul wujud of a thing at the same time. But is that possible? Is it possible for something to exist and not exist at the same time? That is not possible. And therefore the philosophers also unanimously agree that there is only one Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and it is impossible for there to be any partner for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is what the Muslims believe about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we believe that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is free from zaman and makan. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala cannot be within a time. A time cannot overcome Allah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala cannot be bound by time. Time itself is a creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And in the same way, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala cannot be bound by a place, a makan. It is impossible for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to be within a makan. Makan does not have the exaltedness to be within the power of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is a defect, and Allah is free from all defects. If a person supposes that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, ma'ad Allah, is present inside the masjid with His dhat, al-ayadu billah, then that means that the ceiling and the wall and the ground has overcome Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And nothing can overcome Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is what we believe about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Any other faults? Like for example, some children in schools are asked by the non-believing teachers, just to cause doubt in their minds, can Allah create a wall which Allah cannot climb? Can Allah create a wall which Allah cannot climb? The simple answer to that is, first of all, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is free from climbing, because climbing necessitates a body, necessitates hands or legs with which we climb. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is free from all body parts. Because having body parts is a defect itself. We have these body parts. Does it not limit our movement? Does it not limit the amount we can hear? If you look into the science of listening, the science of seeing, you will find that we listen according to the amount that this ear allows us to listen. The amount that this ear can hold into itself and enter into our brain. The eye can only see the amount that this physical eye can see. All these things limit our actions. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is free from all that. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, His power of sight and His power of listening is without any boundary. And therefore Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has no limits. And Allah is free from all body parts. And therefore Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not climb. And if we suppose that there was a wall that Allah cannot overcome, then that would mean that the wall is more powerful than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And al-ayyadu billah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the most powerful. And therefore it is impossible for a wall to exist that Allah cannot overcome. In this manner, the identity of a Muslim is that he believes that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is free from all body parts. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is qadir ala kulli shay. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has power upon every possible thing. And without a doubt, it is impossible for there to exist another God. And therefore it is impossible for Allah to create another God. Allah cannot create another God, because it is a defect. If there was another God, that would mean there are two gods, which is absolutely impossible, as we've already learned. So this is the first and foremost identity of a Muslim, that he believes in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he rejects all the false notions of the non-believers about this one being and one deity and this superpower. For example, the idol worshippers, they believe in the idol. Those who are Christians, they believe that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created good, but Allah did not create evil. Al-ayadu billah. But what we believe is Allah is the creator of every single thing that exists. Everything that exists has been created by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Good has been created by Allah. Evil has been created by Allah. But Allah has given us free will to choose good or to choose evil. Even the jinn and the shayateen are the creations of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is what the Muslims believe. Allah created every single thing. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent amongst us His messengers and His prophets. Risala is an essential part of Iman. The messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he also said that a believer is he who believes in all the Anbiya Kiram and the Rusul-e-Izam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And what do we believe about the Anbiya Kiram, the Rusul-e-Izam? We believe that they are chosen by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Without believing in the messengers and the prophets of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, a person cannot be a believer. If he has received the message from the Anbiya Kiram and the Rusul-e-Izam, then he is not a believer. It is only those Mu'ahideen who have not been sent a messenger or a prophet by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who will be regarded as mu'ahideen, and on the day of judgment they may enter Jannah. But those who have been sent a messenger by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it is essential that they believe in the messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Recently, Mr. Dr. Zakir Naik in Bombay, he gave an answer to a question, and he said that if a person does not believe in Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then there is a very, very, very slight chance that he will enter Jannah. Al-ayadu billah, the Quran says that he who does not believe in the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he is a kafir, and a kafir cannot enter Jannah. How is that possible? This is the teachings of the Ahlul Bidah. This is the teachings of the misguided people who reject the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, yet say that a person can go into Jannah. Al-ayadu billah. It is absolutely impossible. If a person says, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wahdahu la sharika lah, and that's it, then he is not a believer. Until he says, Wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan abduhu wa rasuluh, until he does not verify that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the servant of Allah and the messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then he cannot be a believer. Otherwise, the kalma would have been La ilaha illallah.
there would have been no need for Muhammadur Rasulullah. But every Muslim agrees that the kalima is La ilaha illallahu Muhammadur Rasulullah. And subhanallah, even Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not say La ilaha illallah. He did not say that a believer must accept La ilaha illallah wa Muhammadur Rasulullah, and Muhammad is the messenger of Allah. But Allah removed the and. The harfi atf is not there. There is no wow there. There is no and there. It is all one. La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah. There is no deity worthy of worship but Allah. Muhammad is the messenger of Allah. There's no gap in between. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, when Sayyiduna Jibreel alayhi salam came with the verse, وَرَفَعْنَا لَكَ ذِكْرَكَ, and for you we have raised your status, Jibreel alayhi salam asked the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that Allah has sent me, and said that, ask my beloved that, do you know how much Allah has raised your status? The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, although he knew, he says, what has Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said? And he says, Jibreel alayhi salam says, ki Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said, ki ja'altuka dhikram min dhikri man dhakaraka dhakarani. I have made you a remembrance from my remembrance. From now on, anybody who mentions you has mentioned me. Subhanallah. So we do the dhikr of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then that is the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is what a Muslim believes, that the prophets and the anbiya kiram of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they are chosen by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And they are humans. They are humans. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said that I have sent from amongst you, yani human beings, as messengers and prophets. So it is absolutely essential. And it is one of the fundamental beliefs of Muslims that all the prophets and the anbiya kiram are human beings. They are humans, but they are the greatest human beings who walk this earth. They are chosen and exalted. No human being can be the same as a prophet and a messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They are human. We must believe that. Anybody who believes that the prophets and the anbiya kiram are not human becomes a kafir. He does not remain a believer. It is a fundamental belief of Islam that every prophet and every messenger of Allah is a human being. However, they were the best of all human beings. And why is that? Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's wisdom was that when the anbiya kiram and the messengers of Allah, they come amongst the people and they act the way of the Quran and they act the way of the message of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and they leave the manner that Allah has passed on to the people, and they act that out and they perform the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the people do not turn around and say that they are not humans, we are human. They are angels, we are human. How can we copy what they are doing? This is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not send angels and angels as messengers and prophets of Allah, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chose humans to be the messengers so that they can carry out the actions, and then we do not have the chance of saying, ya Allah, they were not human, we are human, how can we carry out these actions? But they showed that being human yet carrying out the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is simple, and this is the way to do it. And that's why Allah sent humans as messengers and prophets of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In the same way, we believe that every single prophet and messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is free from all faults. They are free from all faults. They cannot have faults in them. Can you imagine that a prophet and a messenger of Allah can have a fault in him, ma'azallah? Can you imagine if somebody believes that a prophet of Allah and a messenger of Allah can have faults, can make mistakes, then what would happen to the message of Allah? How would you receive the message of Allah? How would you know with certainty that this is the messenger of Allah? Maybe the messenger has made a mistake, Allah a'udhu billah. Would that possibility not be there? If it was possible for the messengers and prophets to make mistakes, then the Quran would not be known with certainty. The Quran would be doubtful. How would we know that the Quran is the word of Allah? There is a possibility that there is a mistake in passing the message, and therefore the Quran has mistakes in it. Allah ya'adhu billah. That is impossible. And this is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made all his prophets and his messengers free from all faults, free from making mistakes. they could not make any mistake in passing the message of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to the people. And that is why today we know with certainty that every single harf, every single point, every dot in the Quran is the word of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And it is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with certainty, without any doubt, these are all the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is simply because all the prophets and anbiya kiram have been made ma'soom. They are free from sin. They are free from making mistakes. They are free from faults. And not only that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made the prophets and the anbiya kiram in such a way that they have qualities in them. They have all the best qualities in them. They have beauty in them. They have superiority in them. They have the best of manners in them. They have the best character in them. This is because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made them to attract the people and call the people towards them. If a prophet or a messenger had faults in him, for example, al-ayadu billah, may Allah protect anybody from even thinking such, that if a prophet or a messenger had bad odor, for example, a bad smell came from him, then would the people be attracted towards that person? Would the people be attracted towards him and come and listen to the message of Allah from that person? No, of course not. And that is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala kept the anbiya kiram and the rusul izam free from all types of faults and all types of disadvantages. They were made the best of creation. They were made the most beautiful. They smelt the most beautiful fragrances. When people went near them, they felt attracted towards them. These are the anbiya kiram, and the identity of a Muslim is that he believes all these beliefs and all these aqaid in regards to the anbiya kiram. If a person believes that the anbiya kiram, ma'azallah, can lie, al-ayadu billah, then that would mean he doesn't believe in the Quran, because the Quran could be a lie. All these types of faults, a Muslim does not believe in them. He cannot be a Muslim if he believes that Allah has faults in him. Ma'adallah, all the prophets and the anbiya kiram and the messengers have faults in them. That person cannot be a Muslim. And then the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam was sent, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made him the Khatamun Nabiyyin, the final messenger. And through the verse of the Quran, where the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam was told that he is the Khatam of the prophets, the Muslims understand that there is absolutely no prophet or messenger to come after the time of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And this verse of the Quran, where it says, "Ma kana Muhammadun aba ahadin min rijalikum, walakin Rasulullah wa khatamun nabiyyin." Khatamun nabiyyin means that there is no prophet or messenger to come after him. It means that his time is the end of time. He has come at the end, he is the Akhir. And there is absolutely no prophet to come after the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam with a new message, with a new book from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And therefore, anyone who claimed to be a prophet or a messenger after the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, a Muslim will denounce them. Musaylima Kadhab, or all those others who came after the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, all the Dajjals who claim to be prophets and messengers, a Muslim is he who denounces all of them. Ghulam Ahmad Qadiani, a Muslim denounces him. A person who believes in Ghulam Ahmad Qadiani, he cannot be a Muslim, because it is the identity of a Muslim that he believes that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is the final messenger, and there is absolutely no messenger after him. Once the Christians could not understand why the Muslims would not accept the Qadianis as Muslims. Why do you not accept them as Muslims? They claim to be Muslims. They believe in Allah. They believe in the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Why do you not accept them as Muslims? You know the answer that somebody gave? Somebody gave a very good answer, a logical answer. They said that, think to yourselves that the Jews believed in Sayyiduna Musa alayhi salam, and they believe that anybody who believes in Allah and Sayyiduna Musa alayhi salam is a Yahudi, is a believer in their faith. When the Christians came and believed in Sayyiduna Isa alayhi salam, the Christians also believed in Allah. They also believed in all the other prophets and messengers. They believed in Sayyiduna Musa alayhi salam. Then why do you not accept them as Jews? If the Christians call themselves Jews, then the Jews don't accept it. They say, you are not Jews. Why not? Because you believe in a prophet after the prophet Sayyiduna Musa alayhi salam. You believe in Sayyiduna Isa alayhi salam after the prophet Musa alayhi salam. Sayyiduna Musa alayhi salam was the last. After him, you are believing in another prophet, and therefore you cannot call yourselves Jews. You must call yourselves Christians. Isai. And then the Christians came, they believed in Sayyiduna Isa alayhi salam. They believed in all the previous prophets and Sayyiduna Isa alayhi salam. And then the Muslims came, and we believe in Sayyiduna Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as the Khatamun Nabiyyin, because that is the truth, and that has been proven, it has been established from the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, not only in the Quran, but even in the previous books, even in the Bible, even in the Old Testament. It has all been established that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the final prophet. And when we believe in the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the Christians say that you cannot call yourselves Christians. You cannot call yourselves believers in our faith. Because you believe in Allah, that is fine. You believe in all the previous prophets, and you believe in Sayyiduna Musa alayhi salam, that is fine. You believe in Sayyiduna Isa alayhi salam, that is fine. But because you believe in a prophet after Sayyiduna Isa alayhi salam, therefore you cannot call yourselves believers in our faith. We will not accept you as Christians. You must call yourselves something else. And therefore we call ourselves Muslims, because that is the first word of a believer Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave since the time of Sayyiduna Adam alayhi salam. Until today we are the Muslims, and we do not call ourselves as Christians and Yahudis. In the same way, when we believe in the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and all the previous prophets and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we believe that there is no prophet after the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And these Qadianis, they believe in a prophet after the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So if you had the right to disregard those people and denounce those people who believed in a prophet after your prophet, and not allow them to call themselves what you call themselves, then why should we allow them people to call themselves Muslims? How can we accept them as Muslims? We do not accept them as Muslims. For the fundamental belief of Muslims is that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the Khatam. He is the final prophet. And he himself said that ana khatamun nabiyyin la nabiyya ba'di wa khutima bir rusul. All the prophets have been ended on me. I am the final prophet. There is absolutely no prophet after me. And therefore anybody who believes in a prophet after the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he cannot be a Muslim. And the identity of a Muslim is that he believes that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave the power of miracles to the Anbiya-i Kiram and the Rusul-e-Izam. They perform miracles in order to bring people towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Did the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam not split the moon into two? It is mentioned in Bukhari Sharif. It is mentioned in other books that the moon was split into two in the time of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. When the sun had gone down, the sun had been brought back. When the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam requested for the sun that had set to rise again, the sun rose again. In the same way, water exited the blessed fingers and from between the fingers of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would place his hand onto the chest of a person, and that person would become a believing person. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam showed miracles. Sayyiduna Isa alayhi salam showed miracles. It is mentioned in the Quran. Sayyiduna Musa alayhi salam showed miracles. Sayyiduna Ibrahim alayhi salam, all the previous prophets, they all showed miracles. And it is the identity of a Muslim that he believes in every single prophet that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent, and he denounces not any one of them. He must not denounce any one of them. And this is why, if you look into the books of beliefs, the books of Ilm al-Kalam and beliefs and Aqeedah, you will find that when the question of how many prophets and messengers should the Muslims believe in, the answer is that there is no specific number. We must not believe in one specific number. Although the ulama have mentioned 125,000 or 225,000, they say maybe more or maybe less. In Urdu they say ya kam aur bish, maybe less or maybe more. You must say that, because if you specify one specific number, maybe you are believing in more than one, more than the amount of prophets that Allah sent. And if you are believing in a specific number, it is possible that you are missing some of the Anbiya-i Kiram from that number. So if you say 125,000, maybe there were 126,000. So maybe you have rejected 1,000 prophets. And maybe there were 123,000. You have rejected 1,000. In this manner, you must believe that there is no specific number of the Anbiya-i Kiram and Rusul-i Azam, but what we believe is that we believe in every single prophet and messenger that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent. This is the identity of a Muslim. And then the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that the Muslims, a Muslim, a mu'min, is he who believes in the malaika. He must believe in the angels. And when we say angels, he must believe that Allah has physically created angels. Not just a thought, it is not just a thought that every good action is known as an angel, no. Physically, angels exist. And Allah created them with nur, with light. And they do the work of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Although Allah can say kun and everything could happen just like that. But Allah decided to show His kingdom, show His power to the people. And He created angels, created them from light. And He created them such that they are free from making mistakes. They are masoom. They cannot go against the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They cannot do anything against the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. These are the malaika, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created them to do all the work for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They send the rain to us. They give us death. They give us life. They are the ones who do all the work in order to show the kingdom of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Everything that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created, Allah has created as asbab and made this world into an alamul asbab. And there are asbab for everything that occurs, which means it is all wasila. Everything is a wasila, and that's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran ordered the believers that fear Allah wabtaghu ilayhi alwasila, and seek a wasila to reach Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If you want money, if you want wealth to feed your children, to feed yourself, to buy clothing, then you must go to work. You must do some work and earn that money, because that is a wasila through which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sends you rizq, and He sends you wealth, and He sends you money, food, water, drink and clothing. Everything is sent through a wasila, and these angels are a wasila from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and they give us everything. So a Muslim must believe in the existence of the angels. He must also believe in the existence of jinn. Allah is the one who created jinn, and from amongst the jinn are those who have become shaitan because they have rejected Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They have committed kufr, and the jinn have been created from fire by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah created the jinn. Why did Allah create the jinn? For the same purpose as Allah created the human. وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ. That Allah has not created the jinn but so that they worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But Iblis rejected the worship of Sayyiduna Adam alayhi salam, the worship of Allah through Sayyiduna Adam alayhi salam, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala removed him from his court. And since then, some of the jinns became shaitan, those who followed Iblis, those who committed kufr, those who rejected the verses of Allah, those who rejected the command of Allah, they became known as the shayateen. And because the jinn have been created with fire, and they have been given will, in the same way as the humans have been given free will, they can do wrong, they can do right, because they have been created with fire, they have more evil in them, they have more anger in them, they have more wrongdoings in them. And this is the heat of the fire that they have been created from. And this is why, if you look at the amount of jinns, most of them, majority of them, are the shayateen. And they have been created with fire. There is more shar in them. There is more evil in them. And this has been written by our ulama-i kiram. And this has been taken from the Quran and hadith. That the jinn, they have more evil in them. And this is why it is the identity of a Muslim that he does not believe in these jinns. He does not follow the jinns as their leader. A Muslim, a believer, must never accept a jinn as his leader. The leaders have been sent by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as the Anbiya-i Kiram and the Rusul-i Azam, and those that came after as the Awliya-i Kiram and the Ulama-i Kiram. They have been made the leaders for the believers, not the jinn. Do you understand what I'm saying? What I'm trying to say is that The identity of a believer is that he does not go to an amil or a peer or a person who claims to have exceptional spirituality, where he uses jinns to inform him of the ilm al-ghayb, of the unseen. That is not the identity of a believer. A human being is superior to the jinn. And the jinns, they lie a lot. They lie a lot, and it's mentioned in the Quran that the jinn, they use magic, they use false information to create dispute within families. Rishtedaron mein jhagra paida karne ke liye, they use false information, they lie. And that is why when you go to an amil, if anybody has experience, and I'm not denouncing the use of amilin, subhanallah, we have great amilin. We have those people who are spiritually above others, and we can go to them and take dua from them, take ta'weez from them. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam allowed the sahaba ikram to write verses of the Quran and hang them around their necks and the necks of the children for protection and from freedom from illnesses. So that's why we accept the Muslim identity, is that we accept these type of ta'weezat, and we must go to the ulama ikram and the pious people and take dua from them, take ta'weez from them, ask them to blow on us after reciting the Quran. This has all been proven from the hadith. Do you know that a sahabi, once a group of sahaba ikram were traveling, and they came to a group of people who had the leader from amongst them was a victim of an illness, and they could not find any cure. He had seen many doctors, but he found no cure. When the sahaba ikram came near that village, the people of that village, they did not invite them, they did not host them, they did not feed them, whereas the Arabs were known for hosting people and feeding people. So the sahaba ikram, when these people saw that these people have come, they came to the sahaba ikram and they said that, is there anyone from amongst you who can give shifa to people who have become ill? So one of the sahaba ikram said that, yes, I can. The leader of the village was brought in front of him. The sahabi of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam recited Surah Al-Fatiha, and then he blew onto that person. When he blew onto that person became cured. His illness had gone. Subhanallah. Upon that, he was even given in reward many goats or sheep, some specific animals as a reward for doing that. And apparently in one of the narrations it says that he demanded it before he recited Surah Fatiha and blew on him. And then they came to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam with all these animals, and they informed the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, we came to a village and the people demanded somebody who could give shifa. I said I can give shifa, but in exchange I said I will take this many animals from you. And then they accepted. So I recited Surah Al-Fatiha, I blew on him, he became cured. So he gave us all these animals and I have brought them to you, Ya Rasulullah. Is it permissible for us to use these animals? Because I have taken them in exchange of reciting the Quran and blowing on this person. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, yes, it is permissible, and also take out my share from it as well. Subhanallah, from this we learn, the ulama-i-kiram have written that it is permissible for the amilin and the ulama-i-kiram to take something specific for the work that they carry out. However, it is the way of the people of taqwa that they do not take anything in exchange. So that's the reason why I'm telling you this, is that there may be people who do take something, but we do not disagree with that. We do not disagree with that. It is their right to take that. It is the way of the sahaba-i-kiram, and therefore we must not reject that. It is the identity of a Muslim that he thinks good of others and he does not take faults out in others, unless it becomes absolutely clear that this person is going against the Quran and Hadith. And therefore we as believers and Muslims, we must enjoin unity amongst ourselves, and we must not cause hatred amongst ourselves. We must respect other people and we must assume good of other people, and therefore we must not speak evil of them. However, the ulama of taqwa, you know the ulama of taqwa, subhanallah, they are so great in their taqwa that they do not take anything They do not take anything in exchange of reciting the Quran or writing a ta'weed or blowing on somebody. For example, Sayyidina Mufti Azam-e-Hind, Shaykh Mustafa Rida Khan radiallahu anhu from Bareilly, subhanallah. Once he was sitting in the place that he used to sit in his room, and he was writing a fatwa. Whilst he was writing a fatwa, a man came into his room. And the man has a box of sweet with him, mithai. And he sits down. Huzur Mufti Azam-e-Hind radiallahu anhu is writing a fatwa, and he is busy and engrossed in writing his fatwa. After a while, he looks up and he does salam and musafaha. The person kisses his hand. Huzur Mufti Azam-e-Hind says, "Why have you come?" He says, "Huzur, I was just going past, and I thought I will go past your room, so I thought I will come and meet you." So Mufti Azam-e-Hind radiallahu anhu says, "Ki ye kya hai? What is this?" The mithai. And he says, "Bas Hazrat, guzar raha tha, main socha mithai le lu, aapki khidmat mein pesh karunga." He says, "Okay." And then Huzur Mufti Azam-e-Hind alayhi rahmah started writing again. And he continues writing, fully engrossed in writing. After a while, he looks at him and he says, "Kyo aaye hai? Kya kaam hai? Why have you come? What do you want?" He says, "Huzur, nothing, I have just come to meet you. Bas sirf mulaqat karne aaya hu, sirf, I have only come to meet you. Ye kis liye laaye hai? Why have you brought this?" He says, "Huzur, I was just going past and I thought if I come to see you then I should bring something, so I brought this as a gift for you." Then he starts writing again. Then he is engrossed in his writing. After a while, Huzur Mufti Azam-e-Hind alayhi rahmah looks up again and he says, "Kyo aaye ho? Why have you come?" He says, "Huzur, I have come simply to meet you. Sirf mulaqat ke liye aaya hu, bas hazrat, aur kuch nahi. Ye kis liye laaye ho?" So he says, "Ki Huzur, I have brought this because I thought I am going past, I will meet you, I should give you a gift, Huzur, so that's why I have just brought this, but nothing, no other intention, Huzur, just as a gift." He says, "Okay, theek hai." And then he starts writing again. Now the man says, "Ki Huzur, I will take leave now, but before I leave, Huzur, my daughter, she urinates in her bed while she is sleeping, so Huzur, ek taweez likh dijiye." The Mufti Azam-e-Hind alayhi rahmah says, "Isiliye to pooch raha tha ki kyo aaye ho? This is why I was asking, ki why have you come?" Subhanallah, he gave him three chances to speak the truth. He gave him three opportunities, but he still didn't speak the truth. Says, "Kyo aaye ho? Isiliye to pooch raha tha." So Huzur Mufti Azam-e-Hind rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi then wrote the ta'weez. After he wrote the ta'weez, he gave it to him and he says, "Lo." And he says, "Hazrat, ye mithai." He says, "Nahi, le jao mithai. Take the mithai away." He says, "Nahi, Hazrat, aap ke liye laya ho." He says, "No, ta'weez lene aaye ho, isliye mithai leke aaye ho. You've come to take a ta'weez, that is why you have brought this mithai. Take it away and feed it to your children." Huzur Mufti Azam-e-Hind alayhi rahmah didn't accept that mithai. Even though his intention may have been that, "Ya Shaykh Mufti Azam al-Hind, I have only brought this as a gift, although I do want a ta'weez, but I have not brought this mithai," but still Mufti Azam-e-Hind alayhi rahmah did not take that mithai. Because it can cause a doubt in somebody's mind that, look, he is taking mithai in exchange of the ta'weez. And this is the taqwa of our ulama-i-kiram. And the identity of a Muslim is that he seeks these type of ulama-i-kiram, those ulama who have taqwa, and he follows them. These are our ulama-i-kiram. Do you know that Sayyidina Imam Azam Abu Hanifa radiallahu anhu, his taqwa, subhanallah, you know, he was a rich man. Allah had gave him a lot. And do you know, if Allah gives somebody knowledge, it is not necessary that Allah gives him wealth as well. If Allah has given somebody wealth, it is not necessary that Allah gives him ilm-e-deen as well. It is not necessary that Allah makes him a strong man as well. It does not make it necessary that Allah gives him a very good business, and Allah gives him taqwa, and Allah gives him respect amongst the people, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives him aql. Everything gathers in a person, it is not necessary. But Imam Abu Hanifa radiallahu anhu was he in whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gathered all these qualities. He used to give loans to people. Qarz. He used to give money as qarz to people. Loan. When a person had taken loan from Imam Abu Hanifa radiallahu anhu, many a times he would forgive the person. But do you know that if a man had taken a loan from him, Imam Azam Abu Hanifa radiallahu anhu would not even sit in the shade of that man's house. You know, when a person takes a loan from you, for example, person wants to borrow something and you've given it to him, we think that, okay, I have done a favor for him. Now he owes me a favor. Now I shall benefit from him. This is not the identity of a Muslim. A Muslim doesn't do that. A Muslim gives to others, benefits others, and he pleases other people without the intention of receiving anything in return. That is the identity of a Muslim and the character of a Muslim. He gives. You know, in the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives the sifa of the wrong people and he says, وَيَمْنَعُونَ الْمَاعُونَ, that the people who deny and refuse to give people things to borrow, that is not the identity of a Muslim. Allah has mentioned that in the Quran. And in the Mufassireen have said that what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying is that a Muslim is he who keeps extra utensils in his house. If you need a scissors, a Muslim is he who keeps two scissors in his house. If he doesn't need a scissors in his house, a Muslim is he who keeps a scissors even though he doesn't need it. Why? So that when his neighbors need a scissors, he can give them a scissors to borrow. That is the identity of a Muslim. A Muslim is he who benefits the people that are around him. He smiles, and you know, when you see a smiling person, it makes you smile. And a Muslim is he who pleases other people. When you walk in the streets and you smile at people, you make them feel happy. And you know, it's scientifically proven by biologists and people who study the way the body works. They say that, you know, when you smile, when you lift the sides of your lips and you smile, it automatically causes happiness in your heart, in your mind and in your soul. Even though you are in the most angriest moments, if you just lift the two sides of your mouth, it calms that anger down and it starts making you feel happy. So if you're sitting on your own feeling depressed, try smiling and it will make a change. That is a Muslim. A Muslim is he who keeps these type of things. Now when a Muslim gives people things to borrow, a Muslim thinks that people think that we can now expect favors from them. But Imam Azam Abu Hanifa radiallahu anhu, he taught us that the identity of a Muslim is that he does not expect any favors back from that person. To the extent that Imam Azam Abu Hanifa radiallahu anhu, he never even used to sit in the shade of the house of that people, of them, those people who had taken a loan from him, so that they don't think that, look, he is taking benefit from that person now. Now that he has given him a loan, he is benefiting from him. This was the taqwa of our people. This is the taqwa of the ulama-i-kiram. And these are the ulama-i-kiram from whom we should go and seek help, spiritual help. If you need a ta'weez, go to people like this. Do not go to jahil people. Those people who are jahil, you should not go to them. Because they are jahil. A jahil cannot benefit you knowledge. A jahil can only benefit you jahil. He will give you jahil. If you go to a person who is jahil, he cannot give you knowledge. You go to a person who is an alim, he will give you knowledge. And that is why you should go to the ulama-i-kiram who are amilin and go to them and seek help from them. And they will benefit you. And it is true that a jinn can come into a human being possessed by a jinn. It is possible and it happens. And the ulama-i-kiram are there to help those type of people. Those ulama who are amil as well, they are the ulama-i-kiram who will help. For example, we have Baba in Sri Lanka, in Colombo, who comes to Colombo, Mufti Ihtisham Sahib. He does this amal and he helps people spiritually and physically. And this is also work of the deen and this is jihad fi sabilillah that he helps people. So ulama-i-kiram like that, we should go to them and ask their help. But I am talking about those amileen who use the help of jinns and they completely rely on jinns. You know, the ulama, they don't completely rely on jinns. Ulama-i-kiram, they have the help of jinns. And through the jinn, they may do some work. It is possible. It is possible that we may use jinns to remove the jinn from another person, or to remove the magic from another person, the evil doings from another person. But you must remember that an alim is he who will never rely and accept everything with certainty what the jinn says. You must not accept it, because the jinn, they lie a lot. They speak false information, they lie, and their intention is to cause friction between families and friends and the Muslims, and cause hatred between each other. Have you not seen that when you go to a jahil amil, and he speaks to a jinn, and he says to you, yes, you have jadu on you, somebody in your family has done it on you. Hana, hota hai na? This is what happened. Al-ayadu billah. Who told you that the family has done it? Who told you? How can you accuse somebody of this? Islamic law says that in order to accuse somebody of committing such a crime, you need witnessing, you need evidence. If that amil or that peer or that baba or that bapa or babu or whoever he is, if he stands in the courtroom in front of the Muslim Qazi will ask him, what is your proof that somebody in his family has done this evil magic against this person? He will say, the jinn told me. Is the jinn evidence? Even the witnessing of a jinn is not accepted. How can that be accepted? Do you know what will happen? That amil or that baba or that baba, he will be punished. That peer will be punished. That amil will be punished. He will be lashed with a whip. That is what will happen. So, oh dear Muslims, you must understand that do not believe these type of false accusations against people. And a true amil is he who will never tell you who has done this. Sachcha amil kabhi batayega nahi ke aap pe falane jadu kiya hai ya aap pe falane ye kaam kiya hai. A true amil will never say that, because he does not have sufficient evidence to accuse somebody. You understand? And that is why you must only go to those amileen who are truly honest and pious, and they follow the maslak of the pious predecessors. Those are the amileen who you should go to. And you must never accept this type of information that your family has done. Because a jinn lies a lot. Do you know today, the jinn will say, oh, in India, there is this woman in his village, from his family. She is dark, she has long hair, she has done jadu on him. Tomorrow, the same jinn, about the same person, will say, there is jadu on him, but somebody in his family in Sri Lanka has done it on him. There is a baba that comes here and he does all this, he has done it. Tomorrow, different information. The third day you go to him, wallahi, this has happened in front of me. And I know that it is a jinn. I know with certainty that yes, it is a jinn who is speaking, and the jinn is lying. I know that. I have witnessed this myself, that jinns lie and they lie and they lie. And this is the belief of Islam. If you look at Bahar-e-Shariat, in the chapter of Aqidah, in the chapter of jinn, even in there it says that jinns lie a lot. There is a lot of shar in them. So we must not accept everything that a jinn says, especially things like this. So the identity of a Muslim is he who does not falsely accuse other people until he has complete and sufficient evidence. You must always assume good about the fellow Muslim brothers. A Muslim is he who enjoins good. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that a Muslim is he who believes in qadr, in destiny. We all believe that everything happens through the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But at the same time, Allah has given us free will. So we can choose whatever we want to do. We may choose good or we may choose evil. This is the will that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us. And in the same way, a Muslim is he who believes that after death, he is to rise again. There is punishment in the grave. Questions will be asked in the grave. And then on the day of judgment, he will rise and he will see the status of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And every human being will be judged. And those who will enter Jannah will enter Jannah. And those who will enter Jahannam will enter Jahannam. A Muslim is he who believes in all of these. This is in terms of belief. This is the identity of a Muslim in terms of belief. And then there is the identity of a Muslim in terms of his action. A Muslim is he who performs his salah. Do you know that the Sahaba-i-Kiram, a person who did not perform salah, they did not regard that person as a Muslim. Because a Muslim is he who performs salah. As-salatu imaduddin. Islam is the pillar, Salah is the pillar of Islam. He who leaves namaz, he has helped to destroy Islam. فَقَدْ أَعَانَ عَلَىٰ هَدْمِ الْإِسْلَامِ. He has helped to destroy Islam. And this is why there is a narration, كَمَنْ تَرَكَ الصَّلَاةِ مُتَعَمِّدًا فَكَفَرْ. He who has left or missed his salah on purpose, he has become a kafir. This is a hadith. Although Imam Azam Abu Hanifa radiallahu anh doesn't say that the person becomes a kafir and he is not a Muslim anymore, but it means he is nashukr, he is unthankful in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I'm finishing now. I'm just saying my final words, that the character of a Muslim is also that which gives you the identity of Islam. If a person comes here and says to you, let's say a man comes to you wearing shorts and t-shirt, sunglasses, a weird haircut, and he says, I'm a police officer, stand up. Are you going to believe he's a police officer? No, you're not going to believe he's a police officer. Because a police officer has an identity. He has a uniform. Where's your uniform? If your uniform's not there, you're not a police officer. You may be when you're on duty, but you're not at the moment. Because there is an identity. In the same way, a barrister has his identity. A solicitor has his identity. A doctor has his identity. Every specific profession has their own identity. If a builder comes to your house wearing clothing, wearing shorts without any hard metal toe cap shoes and without a hat to protect his head, how can you believe he's a builder? How can you believe he's a plumber if he comes to you without any tools? Because everybody has their own identity. In the same way, a Muslim has his identity. If a man comes to you and says, I am a Muslim, we will accept he is a Muslim. Because Islam says, the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam taught us that anybody who says, La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah, then he is a Muslim. We accept that. But when a person walks in the streets, how do you know he is a Muslim? There has to be a uniform of Islam. There is a uniform of Islam. What is the uniform of Islam? First and foremost, the beard. Hana. The beard is something that identifies you as a Muslim. When you walk in the street and you see a person who shaved his beard, how do you know he's a Muslim? Kaise maloom ki woh musalman hai? The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Khaliful Mushrikeen. He said, Khaliful Yahud wa Nasara. Do the opposite of the Mushrikeen, do the opposite of the Jews, do the opposite of the Christians. Differentiate yourself so that you are identified as a Muslim. How will people identify you as a Muslim if you look the same as the Jews and the Christians and the Mushrikeen? The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, do the opposite of them. And what did he say? A'ful luha, lengthen your beard. And he said, shorten your mustache. Subhanallah, that is the identity of a Muslim. But what has happened now? The Muslims are in such a way, their libas has changed. Their libas, there is no identity of Islam in their libas. There is no identity of Islam in their face. In their physical body, there's no identity of Islam. A man is walking in the streets, an alim edin is walking in the streets, a pious Muslim is walking in the streets, and there are people walking past him. How does he know that, shall I say salam to this man or shall I not say salam to this man? There is absolutely no sign of Islam on him. Is he a Muslim? Is he a Hindu? Is he a Buddhist? What is he? I don't know. And therefore, Muslims, you must have an identity of yourself. There are people who stand up and they recite Naat Sharif and they have absolutely no beard. There is a uniform that you must wear first before you start praising the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam in public. In public. If you wish to praise the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam alone in your room, that is fine. But when you stand up in front of the people, make sure you have your uniform on. Make sure you have your identity. Make sure you have your libas. You must oppose the mushrikeen. You must oppose the Yahud. You must oppose the Christians in order to show that I am a Muslim. Not because we are trying to cause friction, because we show that we are Muslims and they are Christians. Because every man on the Day of Judgment will be with he whom he imitated. مَنْ تَشَبَّهَ بِقَوْمٍ فَهُوَ مِنْهُمْ. And therefore we must only resemble the way of the Muslims and the identity of the Muslims. And therefore we must only accept those characteristics and those ways and manners that shows that we are Muslims. And as Muslims, the identity of a Muslim is that he encourages happiness amongst the people, friendliness, he condones diversity amongst the people. Do you know one of the essentials of Islam is Hajj? When you go to Hajj, what does Hajj teach us? Hajj teaches us diversity. Hajj teaches us that everybody who is present there, whether he is black or he is white or he is red or he is yellow, whatever color of skin he has, whatever status he has in wealth, whatever status he has in his family, whatever he is in his profession, in Hajj, every single man is wearing the same clothing of the same color and standing in the same light, regardless of the color of his skin. And in that way, Islam teaches diversity. Islam teaches that a person who teaches you the hukum of Allah, you must accept it no matter what color of skin he is from. So Islam, the identity of a Muslim is he who respects diversity and he accepts all types of people and he condones happiness and peace amongst people. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us all the tawfiq to live as Muslims and to remain on Islam. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq to attain taqwa and give us taqwa and Islam until death. And may we all, when Allah gives us death, die as Muslims, so that we can on the day of judgment rise with the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and enter Jannah with the ummah of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Jazakumullahu khaira wa ma'alina illa al-balagh. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.